us continue. We're in Gemara Sanhedrin, Tezvav Amud Beis. The Mishnah has already said, when Shor HaNiskol, an animal that gores, you need a cord of 23 to decide to stone it. We then added that other wild animals need a cord of 23 as well. We listed about four types of animals. And then we had Rabbi Eliezer arguing and saying, no, whoever wants can just kill him, if you recall. And we explained that machlokas. Gemara now brings a statement in the Mishnah from Rabbi Akiva that will be seem to be repeating exactly what the Tana Kama said just a couple lines before. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says, etc., etc. And if you look in the etc., the Mishnah says, Rabbi Akiva says, you need 20, for these animals need to be judged by a court of 23. To which Gemara right away asks, it's a one-line sugya. Rabbi Akiva, Hainu Tana Kama. Rabbi Akiva is the same as the Tana Kama. Again, first no-name brand opinion is, Shor HaNiskol, the ox that gores, is stoned by a judge by a court of 23. Next line. Any, they list four types of animals, like a lion and these types of animals, court of 23. Rabbi Kiva Omer says, court of 23. Moore says, well, what are you talking about? Rabbi Akiva, if you're saying Rabbi Akiva, why are you saying the same thing the earlier opinion says? So why are you saying the same opinion? Gemara gives a three-word answer. Ikabeneho nochash. The difference will be with a snake. Tanakama listed four animals. The Tanakama listed four animals, and one was a snake. And says it has to have a court of 23. Okay? Rabbi Akiva is going to argue on that. And he's going to say that anybody can kill the snake even without due process. He argues by the snake. Rabbi Eliezer argues on all the other animals. Again, if an ox gores, everybody agrees a court of 23. That we have a pasuk in the Torah. Then we listed four other animals, right? The lion, whatever, the wild animals. Then it said that Tanakhama says court of 23. Eliezer says, no, anybody wants can come kill him right away. Rabbi Akiva says court of 23. Well, are you repeating exactly what the Tanakhama says? He says, no. Rabbi Akiva is arguing by the snake only. I mean, the other ones need 23, but not the snake. Now, let's see how you get this. So look in the commentary below here. The Yad Ramah explains how this difference emerges from the wording of the two rulings. The Tanakhama lists several species of animals. He spells them out. That must be judged by 23 if they murder a person and includes a snake in that list. It's clear. Tanakhama lists what different types of undomesticated animals, and still, if they kill, you need a court of 23. That's clear.
These are not owned by anybody.
Well, you missed Thursday.
Yeah,
they're owned.
They're owned by somebody.
Thus, the Tanakhama explicitly requires that a snake be judged by a court of 23. Now, the Mishnah then quotes Rabbi Akiva. Now, you wouldn't quote Rabbi Akiva unless he's the disputant of the Tanakhama. But the problem is Rabbi Akiva merely repeats that these animals are judged by 23. To explain the dispute, we must assume that Rabbi Akiva refers only to some of the animals mentioned by the Tanakhama. Only some must be judged by 23, but others may be killed on sight. Given this, it's logical that Rabbi Akiva's dispute Tanakhama's view regarding the most dangerous animal on the list. Of all the animals, the Gemara feels, the snake is the most dangerous in terms of killing people. Okay? A snake. Okay? The source, for example, a snake, the most dangerous animal in the list, is a Mishnah in Baba Kama. Take a look over there if you want to know why it's the most dangerous. So in other words, when the Tanakhama said, listed four animals that need 23, Rabbi Akiva says, these need 23. Now, he can't be saying the exact same thing as the Tanakhama, because the author of the Mishnah wouldn't have two rabbis saying the exact same thing. Saying these, meaning most of these need 23, and which one would he exclude unless the most dangerous of all? And therefore, the most dangerous one is a snake. And therefore, he says a snake does not require a court of 23, and you can just kill him on the spot.
But not all snakes are dangerous.
We're not talking about a gardener snake.
Yeah.
We're talking about a boa constrictor,
yeah.
A python.
Yeah,
a python. What?
I think only North America has like non-poisonous snakes. Like
there's poisonous. There's
no, the rest of the world is only like pretty much.
Oh, well, North America's got rattlesnakes. You go to Arizona, they tell you that. Don't put your hands under rocks without looking first.
Thanks for the warning. I'm going there in February.
You're going in February?
Arizona, yeah.
That's okay. Just don't put your hand under rocks. You know, don't go in these places like a bunch of rocks, a little hole. You know what I mean? That's not where you go. You just, you know, or you stay at a distance from that. But they'll just attack you. They're not hungry. They don't need anything. Just give you a bite. And go. A lion will not hurt you if you're not hungry. If a lion just had supper, you probably pat him on the head almost. You know, he's not hungry. He's not looking for any trouble. The snake, on the other hand, he doesn't care. Eat, not eat, bam. He just hits you, man. So that's why they're the most dangerous. Okay, moving on. Next part of the Mishnah. We now are talking about a halacha that the Gemara is going to have a lot of trouble trying to understand. What does the Mishnah mean? Again, we're talking about when you need the Mishnah then goes on and says, when do you have to have a court of 71? The Supreme Court, the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, what cases do they work on? And they mention a number of them. And one of them is, Ein Donin, there's no we have to have a court of 71. And then the next word's going to be talking about a Shevet. When they have to judge a tribe, you need a court of 71. To which Gemara is going to ask right away, well, what did the tribe do that we need 71? That's going to, the Mishnah was very cryptic. It listed a few things. You have to have 71 for this, for this, for this. And then one of this is a tribe. So to judge a tribe, you need 71. An entire tribe. So the Gemara is going to ask, well, what are we talking about? That's going to be the issue now, going up to the next page. Hi, Shevet. Now, obviously, it's a tribe that's done a sin, obviously, because why else would you judge them, right? Or suspected of a sin. There's no other reason to take a tribe, put a tribe on trial. So, hi, Shevet, dechota. Obviously, thinking about Shevet that sin, but the question is, b'mai, what sin did they do that would require the great Sanhedrin? Now, take a look at 25. The Mishnah states that a tribe, unlike an individual, now an individual does a sin, any capital offense individual, what court number is it? 23. No matter what, individual, 23. So we're saying a tribe, unlike an individual, must be judged by the great Sanhedrin, but does not mention which sin or sins necessitate this. Obviously, a tribe is not judged by the great Sanhedrin whenever it violates any law. I mean, it still would fit into 23. Gemara now questions which sin the tribe must commit to require the great Sanhedrin to judge it. That's the question Gemara wants to know. Which particular sin was the Mishnah referring to? Gemara is going to try a number of possibilities, knock some off, keep some, come up with about two or three different answers by the end of this sukkah. I don't know if we'll do it all today. We'll see. Elamel, so let's start off. Let's assume the entire tribe, Shevet, Shechilas HaShabbos. Let's say they desecrated the Shabbos. They all decided they're not keeping Shabbos. So they're not keeping Shabbos. It comes to Sanhedrin. Now again, there's two aspects. There's no question that, you know, we could take each individual, try each individual, and have them stoned. And if you want to try, you know, 5,000 individuals of a town, that's going to take a lot of time. But what if we have to try the whole tribe? So you might say, okay, well, let's do that. But again, why would you need seven?
It could be like the whole tribe except for eight.
Okay, so we'll have to see. We'll have to see. That's a good point. Let's see. But anyway, so Gemara offers this as the first possibility. Let's say it's Chilul Shabbos, and we're making a distinct. And what are you suggesting the Mishnah is saying? We're making a distinction between a tribe that sins and an individual. An individual, you need a court of 23. But if it's a tribe, because of whatever a tribe represents, whatever, we need 71 to kill them all in one shot. They're all Mechalei Shabbos. So to kill them all in one shot, we warn them. We warn the whole city. If we see Chilul Shabbos next week, boom. And they're all Mechalei Shabbos. So do you think that's what it is? And therefore, the Mishnah is saying we make a distinction between a tribe and an individual. The tribe gets 71 and 23 for sitting for Chilul Shabbos. So, and we know there are certain differences, but maybe that's not so easy to say. But then I could argue, Amar, the polygrachmana, bein yechidim l'rumbayim. When would I say we make a difference between judging an individual and a group? Now, where in the Torah do we already have such a difference in an individual group? What avera, if you can remember, where we do treat a tribe different than individual for the exact same sin? Come to mind? What? Yes. Avodah Zarah, idol worship, and Ir HaNidachas. The Torah has a specific reference. What if a whole city is worshiping idols? Okay, that we do have a difference. That we have to pull out the entire Sanhedrin. So when do we say we make a difference between judging individuals and a mass crowd? But that's only a city. Remember, that's a city. Le'inyan avodas kocham. We do see by idol worship. As we see, there's a difference between an individual person who worships idols and a group of people. An individual is judged by a court of 23. And Ir HaNidachas, a city, when the entire city is worship, is judged by a court of 71. So you want to say we make a difference between judging an individual and group. But where do we find that? We only find it when it comes to idol worship. Bashar mitzvahs, but other mitzvahs. Mi polik, do we make this difference? In other words, we don't see this by Chil Shabbos. Why didn't the Torah say, if a whole city is Mechal Shabbos, we have to have a court and check it out? That's a court of 71. Torah doesn't say that. Torah only says by Avodah Zorah, by idol worship, we make a difference between an individual and a group. So it can't be Shabbos. And the Torah says, oh, all right, good, very good. So you've already given me the answer. So let's say we're talking about an entire tribe that worships idol worship. Let's say that's what the Mishnah means. Okay, Ella, what are you going to say? So let's say our Mishnah is referring to Beshevet Shehudach. It's talking about a tribe that the entire tribe has committed idol worship. And that's when it needs the great Sanhedrin. Let's suggest maybe that's what the Mishnah is referring to, that a tribe is judged by a court of 71 when it's all involved in idol worship. Well, Gemara's not going to be happy with that either. Lememra de bedina de rabim dainin anle. So are we going to say that therefore that we judge a tribe according to the laws of the multitudes? In other words, how is this going to be just like an Ir HaNidachas, like a town that does that? That's what you're going to, it's like a rhetorical question, as you're going to see in a minute, that's not going to work. You're going to see in a minute why there's more. But that's what you're suggesting, that we're going to give this, we're going to judge the tribe like a group of many, like a city. Look at the footnote. The Gemara is rhetorically noting that according to the present interpretation of Mishnah, a tribe is judged according to the law of subverted town. Let's assume that's what we're saying. Is the Mishnah saying we treat a tribe like a city? Same way. According to this interpretation of the Mishnah, a tribe of idolaters, like a subverted town, must be judged by the great Sanhedrin. Okay, that's the suggestion. Now, Scripture states only that an individual idolater is judged by a lesser Sanhedrin, while a town of idolaters is judged by the great Sanhedrin. It never discusses which court would judge an idolatrous tribe. What do we know in the Torah? We know in the Torah, individual 23, if he worships idols, city 71. Torah doesn't talk about a tribe, right? Gemara wants to assume, maybe the Mishnah says the tribe's also the same. Hence, if the Mishnah requires that a tribe be judged by the great Sanhedrin, this means that it is judged according to the laws of subverted town. You treat it like a subverted town, right? That seems to be the lumbus. The members of the tribe would thus also be executed. Now, what's the punishment? By sword, as are the inhabitants of subverted town, rather, here's the big difference, than by stoning as individuals. Here's the point. When an individual worships idols and it's only one guy, we take it to court of 20. There's two issues here. What kind of court do we use? At what kind of capital punishment does he get? So there's two differences between an individual who worships idol worship and a town. Number one, it's about how many judges. Individual 23, a town 71. Individual, if he's found guilty of idol worship, he is stoned. If it's a city, what happens? They get the sword, which is the lesser punishment.
Sword,
which is interesting. We could think about that. Why would we treat a city differently than that?
Because it's diluted amongst the individuals.
Maybe. I would suggest like this. If
it takes so long.
What?
It's efficient.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe. I guess sword is one shot. To take a whole city, throw them off.
The roof, and then you got to make sure they're dead, and then you got to throw stones at them, and you got 5,000.
Yeah, okay. That might be a pragmatic answer. Could be, right? It's a practical answer. How about let's think of an ethical reason? I would think like this. If you're in a city and everybody believes in God, wouldn't you say that's an amazing chutzpah to worship idols? Like, in other words, when there is a certain mitigation, well, everybody's doing it. You know, there's a lot of guys doing it. We're not condoning it because they're going to get decapitated. But like, what's worse, when you sin and everybody's doing it, or you sin and you're the only guy who's like, where'd you get this idea from? All your friends, they all believe in one God. Nobody worships an idol. That's a certain degree of chutzpah. You understand? That's what I would say from a Musar point of view. So that's what we're doing. But anyway, what are we going to be saying? Say, here's the issue here. The issue is, okay, there's two differences over here. And now you want to say, basically, that a tribe will be like a city. Well, if you're going to say that, I guess it's got to go both ways. Meaning to say, the Mishnah only says that needs 71. So when you say that 71, if it's a tribe that worships idols, we'll treat it like a city, get 71. But what would we probably have to throw into the mix once you're going to say that? What would you also have to say? Method is? Which is stoning. Okay, that's going to be the problem. What?
There's another factor.
Okay.
So with the city, if I remember from the Rambam, you have to burn the city.
You're not allowed to benefit from...
Right. So could we benefit from the tribe's animals and everything else and all their
assets? No.
The tribe.
You probably couldn't. Well, what goes for one goes for the other. Why should it be any different? Okay. You're just saying it's a big loss?
It's
you're killing a lot of people. That doesn't seem to bother you.
No.
You know, I understand. You're a city, it's a town, 50 people. It's a huge tribe.
This tribe could be partly here, partly there.
Oh, no, they have their tribal borders. What do you mean? They have their borders. It's like a state.
Okay,
yeah. It's a state, or let's say a county. They are borders. It's not like, oh, where are we going to find them? No, they're in the demarcated borders. But anyway, what's the point? If you're going to say it's like a city, then how are we going to have to kill them? By the sword. Well, you're not going to find any rabbi. No. If it's like a city gets a sword. Remember? So we're going to have a problem because if that's what the Mishnah is saying. So our very cryptic Mishnah that says, a tribe is judged by 71, and now we're trying to figure out what's the sin. We want to say it's the sin of idol worship. I want to say it works just like a city. And I understand the Chiddush. You might think only a city we treat this way. Maybe a tribe different. No, a tribe works as someone said. Works as someone said, that means they'd all be killed by the sword. Now, let's take a look at other brises and other Tanoim. Does anybody say that? Come on, who are you going to be like? You're going to be like nobody. If you're going to explain the Mishnah this way, there'll be no opinion like that. Why? Because lo k'Rabbi Yoshaya, you'll see, it's not going to be like Rabbi Yoshaya. The lo k'Rabbi Yonasan will also not be like Rabbi Yonasan, as we're about to see in the following Brisa that quotes the two of them. The Tanya, the Brisa says like this, Ad kama osin ir hanidachas. How many people must inhabit a city for us to designate it as a subverted town? That's a very good question. In other words, what changes... There's an individual, and all of a sudden you jump to a town. Okay, what if there's, you know, if you ever go through these small hick towns, you know, out in the west, the city of, like, corny fields, population 1. Yeah, population 7. You see somebody. So the question is, when does a city become a city? That one guy is for sure not a city. We know that. Even if he has built a whole infrastructure, it's not a city. How about 2?
Could be a 3.
So we gotta make a number. So the machlokas, what do we call a city in order to give it the status of an ir hanidachas? Again, there's all kinds of differences. Would you need
10 but linen?
What would you need an ir? How many judges would have to judge it? Again, it's a big difference. How are you going to punish them? So when do you become a city? That's basically the question. So this is a machlokas. Okay, first opinion says, Miyud va'ad kuf. Any number from 10 to 100. Divrei Rav Yishai. Rav Yishai holds a municipality inhabiting by fewer than 10 people is considered smaller than a town. Whereas one inhabited by more than 100 is not a town, but a community. Now, the Torah's special guidelines for judging a town of idolaters does not apply to a community of idolaters. Accordingly, even if an entire community commits idolatry, still each inhabitant is judged individually by lesser. This is really a very interesting opinion, which is hard to understand. He's saying from 1 to 9, you judge them as individuals. From 10 to 100, that's called an ir hanidachas. That's a town. But once it's 101, that's called a community. That's bigger than a town. And it reverts back to individuals, which we'd have to, you know, understand why that's so. But anyway, that's the opinion. Divrei Rav Yishai. That's Rav Yishai. Okay, so in other words, anything more than 100 goes as an individual. That would include a shevet, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, we have to look at the logic. I don't know the logic, but that's the shot.
So this city then is not...
It's a very small amount, 10 to 100. That's it.
That almost gets around that when you say everybody else is doing it. So
yeah, so that blows my theory apart. Yeah. Okay. Rabbi Yonah's son, Omer. Rabbi Yonah says, no, this is the definition of a city. Mekuf v'ad rubo shel shevet. From 100 until the majority of a tribe. Okay, now if you look, Tosfos explains the time disagree over how to interpret the verse in a pasuk and almost. Okay, there's a whole kind of discussion why we're not getting into it, but that's what it is. Until the majority, I guess once you hit majority, that's too much, right? So what do you see? How about a whole tribe? Is a whole tribe judged as an Irani Dachas? No, because we said anything more than either 100 is judged as individuals, according to one opinion. Other opinion, anything up to majority of a tribe. But everybody agrees, what about a whole tribe? Is not judged as a town. Is judged as individuals. So our Mishnah wouldn't be going like anybody. You follow? We want to say, well, our Mishnah is just saying we treat a tribe like a town. But you see, there's only two Tanoim who weigh in on this issue. And both Tanoim say that the law of a town is very limited. 10 to 100, or 100 to up to a majority of the shevet. But they both agree an entire shevet doesn't fit in. So therefore, this doesn't seem to fit like anybody. Right? Gemara wants to say no. And more than that, we're not done with the question. V'afilu Rav Yonasan, and even Rav Yonasan, who says from 10 to the majority of a city, right, he says like this. Look at the footnote 30. Rabbi Yonasan stresses any number of people until a number that constitutes the majority of a tribe. If the majority of a tribe, and surely the entire tribe, lives in one city, however, cannot be designated a subverted town. Right? But certainly, a volkulo, but he would certainly agree, the entire tribe, lo, we don't treat like that. So that's the end of the question. Both say an entire tribe is not treated like a subverted town. All right? So then back to our question. What's the Mishnah talking about? So Amar Rav Masna says, we're going to learn it differently. We're not going to be, our Mishnah's not talking about an ir hanida, a shevet that's going into idol worship, because we can't, because it's limited. It's limited to size. Let's pick a different Avera. So Hacha, turning onto the page to the top of 16a, Yud Tezayin Amar Aleph, we're talking about not a tribe, but you have to add a little word. We're talking about Benesi Shevet Shechata Askinan. We're dealing with the prince of a tribe who sinned. And the prince of a tribe has to be treated like a great Sanhedrin. And what's that? If he did any capital offense. So when it says a Shevet, it means a Nasi HaShevet.
Adding the word.
Yeah, but you'll see if you look. I'm sorry to take your Gemara. If you go back to the Mishnah, it would fit in to do that because a lot of the things that they say need 71, it's only an individual as well. If you look over here, it says, Look at the wording, Shelley. This is one whole clause. I didn't say that. We didn't learn the whole. I'm going to say it outside. I'll say it outside. You'll get it. He says, we don't judge not a Shevet, not a Navi Sheker, and not a Kohen Gadol, unless they're 71. Now, what are the three? Well, Shevet, we don't know what it means yet. But the next one is a false prophet. How many is that?
One.
The next one is a Kohen Gadol. How many is that?
One.
So, you know, it would be an odd statement to say, well, we don't judge a tribe, which is like 100,000, and a false prophet, and a Kohen Gadol, except with 71. There's reason to suggest, with the flow of the Mishnah, it didn't mean a Shevet. It meant the head of it. Now, it would have been nice to say the Nasi of a Shevet, but it didn't. But anyway, there must have been a reason for that. So, therefore, that's the idea. So we're talking about the prince of a Shevet, any capital crime that he does, just like a Kohen Gadol, right? And a Navi Sheker obviously is different, because only when he says false prophecy. But either way, he's talking about once. Has nothing to do. That's a whole different ballgame. So that's the new answer. That's what he wants to suggest. So that's what we're speaking about. The Gemara cites the source and backs this up. Milo Amar of Adabar Abba, haven't we learned from Adabar Abba, where it says, Moshe said to the Jews when they were picking their judges, Kol HaDover HaGodl, whatever you have a big thing, a big matter, Yaviu Elecha, bring it, Hashem said, bring it to Moshe or whoever's the equivalent. Now, any big thing she brought to Moshe, now what's the equivalent of Moshe? A Sanhedrin, because at the point, at that time it was only Moshe, so he's equivalent to a Sanhedrin. Look at source note 3. According to our Gemara's exposition, this verse requires that Moshe himself adjudicate any capital case involving a prince. Since Moshe stood in the place of a great Sanhedrin, we derive that a prince must be judged by the court. Now we have to know why. We didn't get to it yet, as we'll see. So that's the proof, which is interpreted like this. It says, any big thing. What does Dover Gadol mean, big thing? Dvarav shel Gadol. Matters concerning a great person. That's what it means. A Dover Gadol, what's a big thing? Matters concerning a Gadol. We even have the expression now, we call like a big rabbi, we call him the Gadol Hador, the big man. So big things about big people. Now who's a big man? Right? Hainami, so this prince, also Gadol Ho. A prince is a great person. So according to this verse, a great person is judged by the, what do you call it, by the great Sanhedrin. So that's answer number one. So answer number one, when it says Shevet, it means the head of a Shevet, the Nasi, any capital crime the Nasi does, he gets, has to be judged by a court of 71, and he would get the punishment he was supposed to get. That's answer number one. We'll stop over here. It's already after 8 o'clock.
Would his punishment be...
whatever the punishment would be. Whatever it would be for the sin. Depends what he did. So he gets that. That's answer number one. There's still two more answers to go. Okay, Shkoyach.